This podcast is powered by Men's Tee Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tee Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tee Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or menstclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. I hope you're having a fantastic day. We are 20 minutes away from Marcus Semien joining us here, the Rangers Player Show on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. I teased Rangers news, the breaking news. And you know, we talked about how when you hear about these elbow and arm situations with the Rangers, I mean, we had Eovaldi already that we're about to get through after a month outing, but how nervous we get. And it always takes me back to how am I forgetting his name now? The Japanese pitcher.
Oh, Udarvish.
Yeah, Udarvish.
Nomo.
Yeah, Nomo. Yeah, Nomo. Rookie of the year, 96, I think. But Udarvish.
Chan-ho Park.
Yeah, Udarvish. You know, we were flying out to spring training, and we heard the day that we're getting on the plane, oh, Udarvish had a little triceps thing. He's fine.
Yeah.
2 days later, they're like, yep, he's going to have Tommy John, and he's out for the year. And, you know, since then, I've always been sensitive about these things, but it's been a trend in baseball for like 10 years now where they don't want to tell you until it's official. So I guess Cody Bradford went out for some sort of a bullpen or a tune-up, or maybe he just woke up and felt it. But whatever was healing enough for them to think that he could do bullpen work last week, that didn't come together for him. And now he's going to have elbow surgery. So we got fingers crossed. Sandler's joining us in 1 hour, but fingers crossed it's not full-blown Tommy John?
Yeah. The Jared report was that he did experience a setback. It's going to be elbow surgery, and according to CY, it's not yet known if this is going to be the internal brace procedure or Tommy John. So if it's Tommy John, then he's probably out all of 2026. If it's the other one, the internal brace procedure, maybe he's got a shot at pitching next year. But I'd look at this as you're probably not going to have Cody Bradford for 2026.
Is the brace the thing you always talk about, Dawson, the Tommy John with the extra stuff on it?
No, I think that was like...
I think they're separate.
Yeah, there's Tommy John plus the brace.
Okay.
Which is reattaching a ligament in the forearm somewhere.
Okay. Which kind of makes it stronger.
And reinforcing it. Yeah. So, I mean, the good news is there's never been a better time to have Tommy John surgery. And we're seeing right now with Jacob deGrom just how good this enhanced Tommy John that was invented about 2 or 3 years ago is, you know, compared to previous. But, yeah, what are we looking at? Is it a 14-monther? So maybe he could pitch in August and September of next year?
Yeah, possibly.
It's unfortunate they couldn't do this surgery in March.
I know. I mean, it just stinks that you end up having a setback like this. I mean, we heard CY told us yesterday he was sick over the weekend. They were hoping to do a rehab. But, yeah, to your point, I mean, who knows? Maybe you just sleep funny and something bad happens. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I know, you know, baseball players have been injured taking the garbage out before. There's all sorts of funny baseball injuries that can happen. But I think this just is they were hoping that with time and physical therapy, he could heal up and give it a go. Like, I think Nolan Ryan famously dodged Tommy John 1 year, or maybe it was rotator cuff, but they were thinking he was going to need an operation. And he gave it some rest and worked out. And of course, Advil, and he got the job done. Whatever the case, Rangers baseball is coming up in under 2 hours now with the pregame in Baltimore. A crucial piece of the schedule. You know, the Orioles are not a good team, and you get two more with them, and then they're going to be at the Globe next week with the Mariners sandwiched in the middle. So, like, five of your next eight games against these birds, with those three against the Mariners, if you are going to start making up ground, this would be a perfect place for a turning point. But, you know, I think after last week, the sweep and then winning the two over the weekend and then getting to Sunday and falling apart like that, then last night, we might be back in some summer doldrums here once again, hoping for signs of life from this baseball team. And that's got to start with Corey Seager. The good news is Marcus Semien is killing it. He's going to join us coming up in about 15 minutes. Mavs news, draft approaching, Daniel Gafford getting a 3-year extension. Do you guys like the move? Do you guys like Daniel Gafford? It's $20 million a year. Are they overpaying?
Well, that's what he wanted. I mean, he had said that that was the expectation. If you wanted to keep Daniel Gafford around, he was going to want at least $20 million. So.
And he was going to get that on the market for sure. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, he's been fantastic as a Maverick, what he's done defensively, the rebounding. He's given you some really big-time offense. I mean, there's been some nights where he's put up 20 points for you. And I guess it kind of goes back to our conversation in the opening segment about Lively. As much as I love him, he has been hurt, so now at least you have two guys there that can carry that load throughout an 82-game season.
You like Gafford, Brian?
I do. You know, the thing about it is I'm the point with me with Gafford, I thought the physicality that he played with, that kind of temperament, it gave you a little bit of toughness about him.
Yes.
So yeah, I was thinking that deal was going to be far greater than $20 million a year. So yeah, I'm okay with what's going on.
I think the way that he played against Oklahoma City was the reason they felt like we got to go get Hartenstein. Like the activity, the shot block, you're getting two blocks a game. He can score, the catching of alley-oops. He is a really, really good player. And I would like to say the Mavs have built a collection of role players. I don't know if everybody understands how much better these guys are than your Dwight Powell and...
There's just no
Dwayne Finney-Smith. Yeah, you got so much skilled
bigs. Yeah.
Gafford's only 26. I mean, this guy's in his prime right now. If they also get a deal done with P.J. Washington, which a lot of people are reporting, you've got yourself a pretty damn good core that is going to be young and in their prime.
One of the toughest things to do, and salute to the Thunder and the Pacers and the Celtics and a few other teams for figuring this out, is, hey, if we're positionless, we can switch everything. It's going to make defense a lot easier. The advancement on that is instead of 6'6 guys, can we do it with 6'11 to 7'1 guys? And with Gafford, I mean, to a lesser extent than Lively, but especially with Lively, his length and his ability to move out there on the perimeter, that is just such a massive advantage for team building. And it's one of the main reasons I do believe that the championship is there. You know, it is there for the taking. And, you know, if you look at teams in the West, I don't know if anybody else can put up something for the Thunder. Like when you project what's your ceiling, what's your floor, everybody's ceiling in the West is short of the Thunder's, but the Mavs, I think, is better.
Yeah, and they've had the Thunder's number. I mean, obviously they knocked him out 2 years ago. Last year without Luka, as OKC was running through everybody, they were a team that was able to beat him. So they match up well with OKC. If they can be healthy, and it's a big if, but right now they've got so much depth. That's why I am pretty high on the Mavericks. I don't know what to think about this front office right now with Nico, but on paper, I do like a lot of pieces on this roster, especially now with the addition of being able to get Cooper Flagg, which is your future.
Not happy about the coaching changes going on, though.
No.
That's not...
Well, and who knows?
A lot of turnover there.
Jason Kidd going to be here? That's still a question mark.
That does not look good at all. Like, no. If Jason Kidd wants to get to New York and your assistants are leaving, like the health of the organization, anybody that can leave
is trying to leave,
kind of wants to leave.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Nico's show.
Yeah.
And that's not a good sign. Although, you know, teams sometimes have to go through these very difficult growing pains in order to take the next step. And I want to remain faithful that whoever, you know, steps in has a great set of tools to work with. Okay, so we got you, Cody Bradford, significant injury. The other local sports story that's interesting is news from up the road on Mockingbird. They are getting ready at SMU, and Leah Asimakopoulos has a nice piece up on this in the morning news, to improve facilities around the athletic department. This is, you know, partially a sign that in college sports, it's become pro sports.
Yeah.
And they all want to have this thing to recruit on. I mean, I worked in Oregon before coming to Texas, and I just saw up close what the facilities did for the Ducks and allowed them a great, you know, foundation to recruit from. Brian, I think in this day and age now, this is not to be exceptional. It's just to keep up with everybody else.
Yeah, you're trying to keep up, but the bottom line is you've got to come up with money for these kids. That's you know, you could spend money on facilities and all these things and make it look nice. And that used to be a very good recruiting tool that, oh, look at our locker room, look at our facilities, look at where we're practicing, look where we're playing, all these things. I think trying to keep up, trying to spend money that way, great. The kids are now like, how much money are you going to put in my pocket? That's the most important thing.
Show me the nice facility and the shoebox.
Show me the facility. Where am I going to play? And then here's my direct deposit.
Yeah, I'm willing to have lesser facilities for significantly bigger money. And I think
a lot of kids are that way.
Does SMU have the financial backing? We know could in the old Wild West.
Yeah, they did. They came up with well over $100 million because they're getting, because of the move that they made to the ACC, they gave up television revenue. So they had to come up with $100 million in order to kind of make up for some windfall there. So, yeah, SMU has got the money to be able to do this.
I mean, they spent $100 million on one end zone last year.
Well, they had instant success. I mean, their first year in the ACC, they're playing for the championship. Yeah, they go to
absolutely.
The playoff.
Yeah, absolutely. They got a good young coach over there. I mean, it's a program. And then they recruit well in this market, too. And then you just go over to SMU, the campus itself. You know, you walk around the campus, the female student body population there's outstanding. I mean, it's
a lot of talent.
A lot of talent walking around there.
You got food and dining and the scene of downtown Dallas. It's all there.
Yeah, it's all there.
Because of the history of SMU, it just seems like far-fetched. But, hey, they were in the playoff. TCU was in the national championship game. I think one of the great things about NIL, it is has even the playing field. And
if you could outpay. But the most important thing is that when you outpay, that you're paying the right guys.
Mm.
That's, you know, you don't want to get in a situation where you're paying for a quarterback and then he doesn't play well.
Could you see them winning the national championship?
SMU? Ponies? You know what? I'm going to say, I'm not saying this because I live two blocks away from that school, but absolutely I could. Well, I think that with the talent around this city and the talent in this state, they could recruit this state really heavily. And yeah, they absolutely could.
It
looked bad against Penn State. Don't get me wrong. I mean, that it looked bad, but they got a taste of that, and that's all you have to do.
A building block.
Give that fan base over there. It's a very, very wealthy fan base. Give them a taste of winning that way.
Yeah,
and you will get it, and you'll get what you need done. It's all about the players, and it's going to be about the bank accounts.
That's all that happened with Phil Knight. One super rich booster went to the Rose Bowl with Achilles Smith, and he was like, wow, this is fun. Can we do this more? They're like, sure, give us a bunch of money. We can do it.
Yeah, you're in a situation where Oregon, I remember, with Phil Knight, Nike and all that was cool, and it became the uniforms. It was like, oh, we're recruiting, and you know that's what we're going to do. Oh, look, we get to play on. But yeah, you're gonna get in a situation where like SMU is going to continue to there's gonna be some kids that are actually really good players that want to get a great education
and stay close to home.
Definitely. Yeah. Absolutely.
New president Jay Hartzell up there and the new AD Damon Evans, big plans. With Evans saying this place needs to be the Ritz-Carlton or the Four Seasons. That's just how I feel about it, and that's what I'll strive to do for our fan base.
Yeah.
You love hearing that. They've had the crews working on Ford Stadium, undergone a number of renovations. That Gary Weber end zone complex opening last season, 192,000 square feet on the south side. Cost them $100 million.
Yeah.
Dining and entertainment spaces. Says, I love our stadium. I think it's unbelievable, but I'm not going to sit here and mince words. Do we need some upgrades in the future? Yeah, we do. We've got to take a hard look and assess what's most appropriate for us. The reporters also asked him about Moody. And, you know, he said everything is being assessed, but he didn't answer it in a way that made you think that that's a top priority.
Larry Brown had that program running pretty good at basketball there for a while.
That was
fun. You
know,
I mean, the Moody Coliseum, I mean, the soccer, all that program, they've got some really, really good things going on over there at SMU.
So they're saying that end zone has raised the standard and maybe the appetite for premium seating. So they're looking into more premium seatings there around the stadium, saying, you want to create this experience people want to come back to. I want to create FOMO here. And that, again, is in line with what all the pro sports teams are saying. Our in-game experience has to be so good that just staying at home and watching it on your 70-inch flat screen isn't good enough.
Well, they got that thing called the Boulevard, I believe, where it's kind of got an SEC vibe to it, where you can like go outside by the stadium there. I think
it's amazing.
Yeah. Where you could kind of have tailgating and things like that's what you need to do. You
provide pop-up tents
provide all that for your alumni to come back and then set up, you know, but the thing that the winning aspect of things, you know, that Texas Tech, they get that oil man that sold his company and now he's funding what's going on there out there at Tech. Tech wasn't going to be a team at women's softball. All of a sudden they're in the finals. You know, but they went out and got one player. I mean, they've got a lot of other good players, but they go out and get one of the best players in softball. Money. That's what it takes. Money is going to bring the best players here, and SMU's got that.
Yeah, it looks like they're going for it here, maybe in a way that we haven't seen since the 80s, but this time it's legal.
Yeah.
Okay. It's legal, baby.
They were really good at it back in the 80s. My dad and them at A&M admired how well they ran that thing.
We're coming back with Marcus Semien. We'll admire the fine work he's been putting up there at the plate and at second base and talk to him about tonight's Rangers game as they get set to visit the Orioles coming up next year.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972 Go Men's T or mensteaclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Fan. Yeah, buddy. Welcome back. It's time now for the Rangers Player Show here on 105.3 The Fan, brought to you by Globe Life. For over 125 years, Globe Life has helped protect families when they need it most. Globe Life, make tomorrow better. And yeah, joining us now is a World Series champion, two-time All-MLB first team, including 2023. Single season record for home runs by a second baseman. I mean, it goes on and on. Dominating this month of June, it's Marcus Semien joining us now on The Fan. How the heck are you?
Pretty good. Just in Baltimore, trying to stay cool out here.
Right on. Is it pretty hot out there, too?
Yeah, it's about 102, a little bit of humidity, so probably be one of the hottest series we have this year.
What do you do? Is this a big liquid IV afternoon, or how do you tackle that?
We all make sure we're hydrated, constantly drinking water and electrolytes, and, just get out there and play the same game we always play and pray that we stay healthy.
You mix in a little pickle juice?
No. See, that's for cramping. That's for after.
Okay.
So we saw that when Rock kind of had some cramps going on, but looks like it helped him out a little bit.
I mean, it's pretty serious, this heat snap, but, you know, being the pro that you are, I imagine this is, something you got whipped pretty good. Do you look at the younger players and have to give them pointers here as we hit the hot part of the summer?
Yeah, I'd probably say so. I mean, I think all of us came up in the minor leagues playing in some city that was really hot. You know, for me, I came up with the White Sox playing in Kannapolis, North Carolina, Winston-Salem, Birmingham, and Charlotte, all hot weather summers. So then I got traded over to Oakland where it was, you know, people were wearing jackets and hoodies in the middle of July. So, I've seen kind of all kinds of weather, and the bottom line is you want to make sure you're hydrated so that your muscles are, you know, in good shape during the game.
Hey, Marcus, has this season really forced you to be super patient? You know, maybe different from other seasons that you've had where you've been kind of up and down the lineup and some good, some bad. But has this been the most patient you've had to be during your career for a season?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I'm definitely a creature of habit, hitting the leadoff spot for a long time. And, you know, once the change was made, it did take a little bit of patience for me to just understand, you know, what was going on. And, you know, I just tried to maintain a good routine and prepare the right way and work my way out of, you know, a slow start. You know, I've had slow starts in the past and, you know, those are definitely tough times, but I definitely rely on my teammates, my family, and just keeping a steady mindset every single day to get out of it.
Was it different this time around because you're getting, you know, closer to your mid-30s? Was there any thoughts like, wow, maybe I am actually starting to show signs of age here a little bit?
Thoughts from me? No, not at all. You know, I don't think that way. I don't know if other people do, but I feel like I'm in great shape. You know, I lean on our trainer here, Logan Franson, the training staff. You know, they work hard for us, so I use every resource I can within the organization and continue to give everything I have.
It's Marcus Semien here with you on The Fan. Do you think about the Hall of Fame at all? Does that motivate you?
I don't. You know, I just think about winning games, and I definitely think about doing what I need to do to play every single day and help us win every single day. And, you know, the rest of that stuff, you know, it's obviously you have to be one of the top ever to be in that category. So I definitely haven't thought about that, but I just try and keep it simple.
What's the dynamic right now in the clubhouse? I think from the outside looking in, we've always viewed you as one of the leading voices in that room.
Yeah, pretty good. I mean, our offense has not been hitting as well as we have in years past, but we know our pitching is carrying us. So we really continue to let those pitchers know, hey, keep doing what you're doing. You're keeping us afloat. Once we get high, we'll be rolling. That's the mindset in here.
How difficult was it, Marcus, though, you know, for and you being a veteran player and kind of having an idea of what you need to do on a daily basis, how difficult was it with the changing of the hitting coach towards the middle of the season? Did that throw everybody off a little bit, or was it something that it kind of needed to be done?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what needed to be done. I knew we were a struggling group.
Sure.
You know, so leadership in the front office and ownership, you know, they wanted a new voice, and they brought in a guy who played a lot of baseball and watched a lot of baseball, and, you know, Booney's a good outlet for us, especially me, a guy who plays the same position he played, and he has hit for some power at that position, and he knows everything that we're feeling on a day-to-day basis, so it's cool to bounce ideas off of him. He works hard just like everybody else, and, you know, this is one of the hardest-working coaching staffs in baseball, and, you know, we just try and rely on every piece of information they can give us so that we can be out there at 7 o'clock ready to go.
And Booney, didn't he have like 37 home runs in that 2001 Mariner season? Did you pass him with your I guess the guy closest to you was Davey Johnson, but you passed Booney on the way there. Huh? Do you mention that ever?
No, I don't mention that to him. I mean, he had a great career. You know, his whole family, they did some really good things in this game. You know, he always teases me that he has more career homers, so every time I hit one, he says, oh, seven more. So, you know, he's funny like that, but he's definitely a great resource for us. I definitely can relate to him as a veteran player, and it's been fun so far.
Can this team, Marcus, get back to where it was 2 years ago?
I think so. I mean, we're going to have to really get it going here, but, you know, the only way to really get it going is to focus on today. I think that a big part of our success will be getting myself and Corey going at the same time. We have some young players who are doing some good things, but I think, you know, when Corey and I get going, everybody feeds off that, so that's what we're trying to do here.
How's the family going? How many kiddos are we up to now?
Well, we had our daughter during the ALDS in 2023, so that's four. My wife is pregnant with the fifth. Due November 15th.
Congratulations, so man.
We will be, this offseason will be an exciting time for us. Very busy, but it's all a blessing.
Marcus Simeon here with you on The Fan. You know, we have this commercial running. I don't know if you heard it right before you came on with us, but where you're talking about leading the league in errors as a rookie, I believe, and then winning a gold glove. What do you take more pride in? Is it the home runs, or is it that you made that transition in your career to being one of the best defensive second basemen?
I definitely take pride in the, you know, just how my defensive game improved. I felt pretty confident in college with the glove, got to the big leagues and, you know, lost a little bit of confidence there. That happens in this game, but, you know, whether it's with the glove or the bat, the process of kind of figuring it out is always a grindy process, but it's fulfilling once you come out on top and you have success in a major league game and then have success for an entire season and, you know, win an award for it or become a world champion. You know, those things are really, they make you feel good.
So as far as managing a success and doing what you can today, looks like you've had a decent career against Charlie Morton. You're going to tear him up tonight?
Charlie has always been just a tough matchup because of the movement he has. His velocity at his age is still, you know, up there, touching 97. But, we know he loves that curveball, so it's just about, you know, seeing that ball, recognizing the spin, getting it in a good spot, and staying through the baseball. And that's all we can do.
Well, thanks for joining us here on The Fan. Congrats on all your success in the World Series in 2023. That was amazing. And by the way, you are on track for the Hall of Fame, man. So give him hell. We'll be pulling for you.
All right. Appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
Salute. There he goes, Marcus Semien, brought to you by Globe Life for over 125 years. Globe Life has helped protect families when they need it most. Globe Life, make tomorrow better.
Do you not think do we not butter him up enough?
Oh, no, that's good. That was good.
We should have kissed his ass a little more. A17 said he's been the hottest hitter on the team, and we haven't been propping him up.
Oh, yeah, I mean, he did hit 921 OPS here this month, so, I mean,
didn't
I
give him enough love there? I don't know.
I thought we did. I thought we gave him enough love. I mean, I didn't want to overdo it considering how rough the first 2 months were.
Yeah.
And the thing with players is they never want to talk about how good they're doing.
No. And Marcus is a deflector.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But that was great. I mean, we've talked with Marcus every year that he's been on the Rangers, and he's consistently the same guy, even keeled. Yeah. That's how he can go 2 months struggling like that and remain the same dude on the first day of the third month, and then, you know, go from having a bad 2 months to one of the greatest, you know, seasons in second baseman history. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105 through The Fan. We're going to, you know, this is not enough time for this topic, but let me go ahead and wedge in a little bit of Cowboys since we usually do that here.
Okay.
The Cowboys all quarter century team.
Yeah.
Where do you want to start? You want to go, I mean, is running back a discussion at all? Is it Zeke?
Well, what we did was on Love of the Star this morning, Zach and I actually talked about this. And they had certain positions where they had maybe four guys, like, four wide receivers. We said no. Break this down to one. Break this down to two. Break. You know, we were not interested in having four guys.
Who was your receiver? T.O.?
No, we went with Lamb, and then we also went with Dez.
Okay,
but see, wideouts.
But we had a discussion about T.O. and Zach, rightfully so, brought up Terry Glenn.
Yeah,
you know. So yeah, there was. It's. I didn't think. I thought it was going to be difficult. But maybe because some of the lack of some playoff success didn't make it, you're now trying to really base it on, well, who are the better regular season type players?
Yeah.
You know, and that, so I was like, oh, what, there are four names? No, let's make two names.
I think that's a better way to do it. Just look at the starters.
Sure.
You know,
exactly.
Zach brought up a really good point because, again, we were talking about the offensive line, and we were having a discussion between Doug Free and then Terrence Steele at this time.
Yeah.
And Zach was trying to think of a way to get Flozell Adams at left tackle and then put
Tyron at right
tackle.
He played right tackle as a rookie year.
But I'm looking at it like, Tyron Smith was just so much better a left tackle.
But if you wanted to make the best team, it'd be Flozell and Tyron.
Just for the best five, that's kind of where I was going. Yeah.
I just found it kind of weird. Not weird. I found it like when you're talking about a quarter century team and you're throwing in their Terrence Steele.
Sure.
You know,
I mean, they haven't had great right tackle play.
And nothing against Terrence Steele, but you're starting to think about Doug Free, Terrence Steele, you know.
Is that Colombo out there in the late 2000s?
Colombo. I mean, it was pretty glaring. Like, I think the two weakest spots were right tackle, which we're talking about, and then safety.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't have, I mean, it was, do you go Darren Woodson and Roy Williams, I guess? And that was Darren Woodson kind of in the back end of his career.
Yeah.
And then Roy Williams, who was great with Woody, and then as soon as Woody left, he kind of got exposed for his coverage liabilities.
That was a big, big, big problem there because Roy Williams couldn't pick it up.
Do you guys have any quarterback debate at all, or is it just Romo?
I did lean Romo.
We leaned Romo is what we did.
I mean, his ability to make that play with anticipation and sort of let that thing go and like the art of quarterbacking. You know, I think if you could give me healthy Dak Prescott at 23 years old against healthy Tony Romo, I would probably take Dak.
Yeah.
Especially in today's game, But overall, if I had to pick, I'd go with Tony Romo. I think there's been a number of good pass rushers at this point. It's got to be Ware and Micah one way or the other, right?
That's tough. We had a discussion because we were trying to kind of figure out, where with Micah's situation, is he the right end? Is he a linebacker? Where is
he? Do you play tank and get Micah on the field?
That was another thing that we end up with the linebackers, which, we're killing our show. I'm sorry about this.
Yeah, you still go listen to Love of the Star. We talked about other things. We had a great mailbag segment as well.
So, yeah, but the thing about the linebackers, I went to the point where I went, and Dexter Coakley and Dat Nguyen were two guys on our Bill Parcells team that were outstanding. We weren't a good offensive team. We were really good on defense. But I turned around and went Lee, Van Der Esch, and then Dat Nguyen as my three linebackers is what I did. And I went on the premise like that you talk about guys that read quick, get downhill in a hurry, and are sure tacklers.
You'd rather have who was the second guy you mentioned? Sean Lee, Leighton Van Der Esch. You'd rather have Leighton Van Der Esch than Rolando McClain. You'd rather have Leighton Van Der Esch than Brooking or James.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I think to me when I honestly not thinking about Brooking at all. Not thinking about Brady James. Brady James was
about Brady.
Brady was in the mix. But if you told me I had those three linebackers, when you talk about the ability to just read, react, finish,
mm-hmm.
those three are hard to and hey, it's been unfortunate. All of them, with the Dat Nguyen really wasn't an injured guy.
No, but Lee and Van Der Esch.
But Lee and Van Der Esch were. Sure. But when they play, it's almost like having having Luke Kuechly out there.
Yeah,
those types of players.
Well, that's a good tease, hopefully, for the Love of the Star podcast. Just recorded this morning with Broaddus and Bullchuck. You can get that inside the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcast. And it's time now, Brian, for Krusty's Corner. Where are you taking us?
Yeah, what does some data say about your team's identity? We'll talk about that next.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Thank you very much, losers. We'll be back on the Rangers here coming up at 4 o'clock. Jared Sandler is going to join us, Rangers Insider. Time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the king.
Thank you very much, Gerald. Appreciate that. Thank you very much to Reliant for being a part of this one as well. I want to ask you guys a question real quick.
I don't want to answer it.
I need your help.
All right.
I do need your help. Would you consider me a bad guy?
No, I wouldn't consider you a bad guy. I think you're one of the best teammates we've got.
Okay. I appreciate you saying that. Very kind of you.
Makes one of us. You're not a bad guy, Brian.
I had an experience on the elevator coming up.
I'm sorry.
This afternoon.
Oh, God.
Morning, I guess.
You let the door close when somebody was running for it. Hold, please.
there was two gentlemen, and they walked in ahead of me.
Okay. Okay.
Into the building. One had a suit in his hand. He had like a suit. Clothes,
okay.
The jacket and pants, all that stuff. And the other guy was dressed, ready to go. And they were talking along the way. And so they hit the button. I happened to be standing in front of the elevator that opened. So I get on, you know, hit the badge thing. And, you know, and then my guys, they're talking to each other. Well, what happened, one guy hit three.
Mm.
And the other guy used, like, he hit five. Mm. Which my access card got him.
Yeah.
Okay. So
they're going to 11.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm going to 11. And so they're on the elevator and they're still talking.
Uh-huh.
Well, the doors open up. Doors open up at 3.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, oh, this is the wrong floor.
Oh, gosh.
Uh-oh.
He looks at the guy. Oh, wrong floor. Jump back in. They get to 5.
Wrong floor.
Wrong floor again.
Where are we going?
But both of them got off the elevator.
They needed to get off at 4.
They needed to get off at 7.
Oh,
and,
7.
I heard the guy say it.
Oh, no.
Oh, I think we need to be at 7. I'll let the doors close.
There you go. Yeah. You don't have time for that bleepery.
You know what? You missed 2 floors. Figure it out, boys. We got a couple other elevators you can use.
Did you at least do the fake reach for
it? No, not at all. This is
sorry.
Not
damn,
at all.
You got me,
not
bro.
At all. Not at all.
I tried.
I figured this. You lost me when you effed up on 3.
Oh, yeah.
And then I knew damn good and well our stations, we had stations on five.
You guys are lost, wasting my time.
You're lost. You have no idea where you're supposed to be in this building.
Yeah.
I'm not here to try and save you.
No.
You know? I was just minding my own business, but when you effed up twice on the floors, I couldn't bring myself to...
Nice little board that'll tell you exactly where your floor is. You know, if you just spend a little bit of time instead of imposing on
it. Thanks, Lucius. These guys walked in ahead of me, and they didn't even bother the little board.
Yeah.
They did. They acted like they kind of knew what they were doing, and I'm like, okay, cool.
Don't respect that. Act like you've been there before. Trying.
So, really, I'm not a bad guy for...
No, I don't think so at all. No, I would have done the same thing.
Did you say anything as the door's closed?
No, not at all.
Sorry, fellas.
No.
Were they, like, looking at you? Did you make eye contact?
No, they didn't see me, because when they jumped off, I almost reached down because I heard the guy
jacking with my time.
Hit that button.
Hit the door close button because I heard the one guy go, because five is a very distinguished floor. You go down there, you're like, oh, this is a radio station.
You might run into the boss.
Yeah, this is radio fill down here. I mean, up here where we're at, it's just kind of a bunch of radio. You know, but downstairs, it's
very
like,
professional.
Yeah, yeah, upstairs, not so much. Downstairs, very. Yeah. But when they both jumped off, I said, okay.
There
I know.
We go.
I knew that. I knew they were both wrong. I almost reached for the button to close it.
I might have done that myself, Brian, very quietly. Maybe lean over there and get a little button push there. But you know, one of the things that drives me nuts is when you're out in public and somebody is imposing on your time.
Yeah.
Like they have no clue in the world they're holding you up. I mean, the obvious move there is, I'm sorry, let us get off because we don't know what the hell we're doing right now. And sorry to hold you up, sir.
Right.
Yeah. I think you were taking what was yours, Brian.
I didn't say a word to him, didn't say hello. But when I heard the guy say, oh, we should have gone to seven, I let the doors close.
No, you got to bail because the next thing you know, you get to seven, they should have been at nine. They don't know what the hell is going on.
Yeah. Okay.
Their problem, not
hold,
yours.
Please.
You got three podcasts to do, bro. You ain't got time to play around like that on the elevator.
I appreciate that, Lucius. I really, really do. And so, yeah. Okay.
Freed up your conscience?
Well, yeah, a little bit. I mean, I was thinking like, you know, I'm not feeling great.
No, you should. You're not a terrible person.
But I didn't want to be a deal where like, you're right, Dawson. If you're kind of wasting my time.
Yeah.
I don't have time
for
you.
You're clueless.
Yeah, I mean, have a plan.
You feel entitled to my time?
Yeah. Yeah. Why are you making me ride the elevator with you today?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why are we going up and
you
down?
You should have went on a coffin fit in the elevator. Get them on out of there.
Oh, just.
Sorry, fellas. No.
Trying to do radio a little hurt today.
Sorry. Yeah. Got a little something on my Super Bowl ring here. Yeah. I was scouting the Packers.
I mean, jamming them buttons trying to get off of there.
But when you're hitting when both those dudes hit wrong buttons right off the jump,
yeah,
I said this is not going to.
We're totally wheels off here.
I was hoping exactly what happened. I was hoping what happened. Like I was hoping that they were going to jump off at five, and then I was just going to let the doors close.
Since you brought it up, quick story, 30 seconds.
No, I mean you're doing fine.
I'm in the garage Saturday night, hanging out about 11:30 at night. I hear like it's within 50 yards.
Okay.
Boom, and then a loud collision.
Oh, somebody hit a parked car.
Somebody pulled out in front of a car that was flying down Trip Road. I would guesstimate it by the sound of that vehicle, it was going at least 70, right?
Oh, and wow.
Maybe in a 35 and somebody pulled out there. There's a three-way intersection. Oh, wow. So I'm thinking in this moment, what do I do? As I'm sitting there in my boxers and a bad T-shirt.
Nothing.
What you wouldn't do anything? Nothing. It was so loud. It happened. It sounded like it was in my driveway. It might have been a quarter mile away.
Well, you
do nothing?
Peek outside. And
I couldn't see it. I could just tell it was on the other side of the trees.
Yeah. If it's not right in front of your house, I mean, you could have called 911, I guess.
I did. I called 911 and I jumped in the truck. And so I'm talking and trying to like talk them. I jumped in the truck in my underwear.
Boxers and shirt.
And I'm driving like, maybe I got to save somebody, right? I don't know if anybody else has called 911. Right. I don't know if anybody heard that. Right. So I wanted to get on the horn with them and then drive to the scene. But as I got to the scene, an ambulance was there.
Oh,
so,
thank goodness. Okay.
So I drove away then.
Well, did it look bad?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. It was,
you take a photo and tag Dallas Texas TV or something at that point?
No, I was just trying to get home. I wasn't trying to be part of the story.
Okay.
Well, no, at least
promote for the show.
But when you call 911, they want to hold you like you might be part of the problem.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I'm good.
No, you're not interviewing.
Can I go now, please?
Boxers.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't want to talk to any officer right now.
Don't look at me.
I'm just trying to let people know there was a massive wreck somewhere within a half mile of my residence.
Good for you, man. Good for you. All right. little football talk then. By the way, yeah, we did. We did Love of the Star today, so check it out. If you want a lot more football talk.
Yeah, it's terrific.
Love of the Star, we knocked that out today, so give that a listen after our show if you would. Appreciate that.
You guys actually get downloads on yours.
We're trying.
Yeah, you guys are crushing it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we...
Well, hey, how about WoW?
Yeah.
Go get those numbers up.
Yeah, I tell you what, I listen to that.
It's a badass name.
It is. It is a really
how
good
about
name.
WoW?
Your thumbnails are better than mine, too, by the way. I'm a little disappointed in my thumbnails right now.
I get you right.
I know you will.
Have a thumb off.
All right. Pro Football Focus. They've kind of talked about here about identity. You know me. I hate identity.
You really don't like identity questions.
I don't like identity questions, but this kind of goes back to like NFL offenses and what data says about teams' identity and efficiency. And I know I have a few minutes here to talk about this, so I really kind of – I'm glad you guys carried this on the way you did. But they kind of – Pro Football Focus is what they're calling clustering NFL offenses. And this goes from 2022 through 2024 is where we're at. So this kind of is like, okay, this is where the Dallas Cowboys were, where they were, you know? And if you they broke it down into different offensive categories. The number one is the elite offenses. Mm-hmm. Buffalo, Ravens. Only two elite offenses, according to Pro Football Focus.
Mm. I think that's fair.
Fair? Next offenses up, potentially up into that elite, would be the 49ers, the Eagles, and the Lions.
Okay?
Yeah, you know, come to think of it, why aren't the Lions in there?
I kind of wondered the same thing. I kind of wondered why the Lions were not in that. The way that they run the ball, the way that they score, the way that they
I mean, that was 33 a game last year.
I don't get why they're not into that.
And they had a top five rusher and receiver.
How about this one? Great on the pass, struggle running the ball.
Washington?
Not Washington.
No, because they did run it.
Yeah.
They struggled to defend.
Cincinnati?
Cincinnati's in this group.
Okay.
Tampa Bay's in this group.
Yeah,
they got better last year.
Yeah, they got better last year. The Chargers are in this group, and Kansas City's in this group.
That's true.
Great passing, struggling to run. Here's the flashes of brilliance. Dolphins, Jaguars, Packers, Rams. Rams seem like they should be a lot higher than
this.
They
should be, but they've had a ton of injuries, too, which might skew the numbers.
Seahawks, Vikings. And your Dallas Cowboys. This is from 2022 to 2024. And then the groups behind this are, let me give you the categories and see if Dallas, and I'm going to give you the categories and you tell me where Dallas could be this year. The categories behind this are run game down, let's work on the pass. Like they got the run game down. There, okay. Let's work on the pass. That's Chicago, Arizona, the Commanders, and then the Falcons. I like the fact that the Arizona was in that, got the run game down.
Well, I can, yeah.
Yeah, taking the coach. I like that. Low ceiling plus offensive line struggles. That would be Denver, the Giants, the Saints, and the Steelers. Struggles all around. That would be Browns, Colts, Jets, Panthers, Patriots, Raiders, Texans.
Hmm. It was a dumpster fire.
And the Tennessee Titans. Okay,
oof.
if you look at the last several years, just real quick, if I could, if you look at the last several years, how predictable your offense is versus how efficient it is, they have the good but more predictable, and then they have the good less predictable. They have the bad and more predictable, and bad and less predictable. The Dallas Cowboys, the last since 2022, are right in the middle of all this. They're neither good and more predictable or good and less predictable. Your good and less predictable would be, again, Buffalo, the Eagles, Green Bay, and the Ravens. You are dead in the middle with this.
Better than what I would have guessed.
Yeah,
I would have thought you were at times good but predictable.
I would have thought good and more predictable. Mm-hmm. But that's like they've got the 49ers and the Lions and the Chiefs and the Bengals in that good but more predictable category.
Yeah, I think these two are intertwined. Like, the running game has to make you unpredictable. It's got to be so good that our plan is, guys, we're going to run it twice and have third and one or a first down. And when you can do that, and I think they're going to be successful doing it.
Yeah, I would. If you like to take a quick guess, good and more predictable or good and less predictable?
The Cowboys?
Cowboys this year.
I would say good and less predictable this year.
I hope so.
That's my absolute hope. Please don't be bad and more predictable.
Krusty's Corner every afternoon at 3:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
The Nuggets owner's son talking about trading Jokic possibly.
Yeah, that's weird.
Holy cow. Talk about a crazy offseason. Maybe we'll get into that if we can in the final hour. But Sands is coming up. We have the C-Note at 4:20, then around the bases, and then to the Rangers game here on The Fan.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.